Good evening. Happy Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And we've made it to the ninth of our novena. So congratulations. This year marks the 350th anniversary of the apparitions of the Heart of Jesus to St. Margaret Mary. So I would like to begin this evening with a prayer to Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. O my Jesus and my love, take all that I have and all that I am, and possess me to the full extent of thy good pleasure, since all I have is thine without reserve. Transform me entirely into thyself, so that I may no longer be able to separate myself from thee for a single moment, and that I may no longer act but by the impulse of thy pure love. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Tonight's talk is on the union of the Sacred and Immaculate Hearts. It's quite a daunting task to expound upon in one short evening, but perhaps if we begin with what we are familiar, we can get a tiny glimpse of the union of these two hearts. I am a first grade teacher. When beginning to teach about the sacrament of baptism as spiritual rebirth, I show my students a picture of my parents without telling them who it is that is being displayed. I stand next to the projected image and ask them if they can figure out who the people are. It's fun to watch their heads bob between me and the picture of my mom and dad. It's like a miniature ping pong game with their eyes bouncing back and forth between me and my parents. But it takes them less than 30 seconds for them to say, "It's your parents." "How can you tell?" I ask them. And they proceed to yell out what different features I share between my mom and my dad. Good old Webster defines DNA as an essential component of all living matter and a basic material in the chromosomes of the cell nucleus. It transmits the hereditary pattern, hence why we know family members resemble each other. But in addition to DNA, there is a fascinating phenomenon called fetal and maternal microchimerism, where a pregnant woman and her preborn baby naturally transfer cells between one another. This sharing of cells creates a unique and lasting bond between them on a physical and emotional level. They can carry these exchanged cells for sometimes decades. Wow! What a marvelous exchange between the Blessed Virgin and the Incarnation. We know that physically Jesus received absolutely everything from his mother. When Mary gazed at her newborn son, what did she see but a natural reflection of herself? Jesus would have shared Mary's eye and hair color. Perhaps their noses were of the same shape, and maybe there were other physical similarities between mother and son. What mother does not look on her newborn baby without carefully studying every facial feature, every smile, every twinkle of the eyes, and feel a surge of joy when the baby laughs? Mary pondered every feature and movement of Jesus. She teaches us how to adore Jesus, to silently gaze on him with love. Mary pondered absolutely everything about Jesus in her heart. Nothing escaped her notice. What does it mean to ponder? The word ponder comes from the Latin ponderare, which means to weigh in the mind, to consider carefully, to think deeply about. Therefore, to ponder something doesn't mean a quick glance or running through words. Rather, pondering takes time, patience, and interior effort. St. John Eudes wrote, "Our Lady cherished the mysteries and marvels of her son's life. All the movements, every beat of this virginal heart existed solely for Jesus and for the things that concerned him. By her example, we can also learn to ponder everything in our hearts. Aside from the physical features that would have been the same, it's not hard to imagine what they shared in memory and emotion. We can certainly meditate on the major events of their lives and all the mysteries of the Rosary, but what of those in between? As in our own lives and families, they would have had daily routines and shared in family rituals. What joy belonged to Mary and Joseph when Jesus took his first steps? They would have taught him to pray, to attend synagogue services, and learn rituals of the Jewish faith. They shared in daily labor, favorite meals, and interactions with neighbors and friends. What feelings of terror must have passed through the hearts of Mary and Saint Joseph when Jesus was missing for 3 days? It's easy to forget that Jesus only spent 3 years with the apostles, but 30 with Mary, and many of them with Saint Joseph. Only Saint Joseph understood how privileged he was to live with Jesus and Mary. All three of them would have shared deeply in the conviction of obedience to the Heavenly Father. Each one in turn had their own and yet collective mission in obeying the Father's will. All the events of their lives were woven together by the virtue of obedience. The Holy Family was inseparable. What sadness was shared between mother and son at the loss of their beloved Saint Joseph, a righteous man, faithful provider, and a protector of them for so many years. One day, he was gone. They would have felt his absence at table, during daily routines, prayer time, and family gatherings. Mary was now a widow. Jesus lost his foster father, the man who had helped form him from youth to adulthood. Jesus loved Saint Joseph and would have felt a great loss as we do when our fathers pass away. From the Annunciation to the Crucifixion, the driving force of their life, the lives of Jesus and Mary, was to fulfill the merciful wishes of the Father. To quote again from St. John Eudes, "After the most amiable heart of Jesus, there never was nor will be in heaven or on earth any heart where the adorable will of God reigns so perfectly and gloriously as in the admirable heart of the Blessed Virgin Mary. The Immaculate and Sacred Heart contain within them shared memories, moments of great anguish, and others of joy. On a physical, emotional, and spiritual level, these hearts cannot be torn apart. In the respective litanies of the Immaculate Heart and the Sacred Heart of Jesus can be read certain parallels. Mary is the organ of the Holy Spirit, and the Sacred Heart was formed by the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mother. The heart of Mary is the tabernacle of God incarnate, and the heart of Jesus the tabernacle of the Most High." St. John Eudes continues to teach us by stating that Jesus lives in her soul and in her body and in each faculty of her body and soul. He lives in her entirely, which means that whatever is in Jesus is also in Mary. His heart abides in her heart, his soul in her soul, his spirit in her spirit. He is the heart of her heart and the life of her life. Not only does Jesus share this great union with Mary, he also desires union with us. In his book titled Rediscovering Devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, A Heart on Fire, Jesuit Father James Kubicki wrote, "Sacred Heart devotion isn't our devotion. It's God's. It's God's devotion to us. Our devotion is only a response to God's devoted love because God loved us first." Devotion to the Sacred Heart begins with God, the creative lover who makes the world with creatures who are capable of receiving love. The Sacred Heart of Jesus is devoted to me and to you. His attention is personally ever upon us. He is interested in every detail of our lives, especially those in which we believe are of no concern to anyone else. Nothing escapes his notice. That which we try the hardest to hide from him, which caused great interior pain, is where he wants to pour his healing love. Jesus revealed his wounded heart to St. Margaret Mary, not a perfectly shaped, shiny one. No, he revealed a wounded heart, a pierced, bleeding, and crowned with thorns. This is the heart Jesus shares with us. He is very vulnerable and completely empties himself for us. Father Hugh Benson, speaking of the friendship of Christ, beautifully wrote, "The essence of a perfect friendship is that each friend reveals himself utterly to the other, flings aside his reserves, and shows himself for who he truly is." Jesus wants our hearts that have been pierced and stabbed with our own sinfulness, our weaknesses, and even crowned by thorns created there by others. We cannot offer Jesus a perfectly shaped, healthy heart. That kind of heart isn't real, and it isn't what he wants from us. He desires the real thing, sins, battle wounds, and all. Each of our hearts are unique, different like our personalities. When Jesus appeared to the apostles after the resurrection, they recognized him because of his wounds, wounds now made glorious. When Jesus appeared to St. Margaret Mary, she described his wounds as glowing suns. Our wounds become transformed and can even become a source of strength when Jesus cleanses and heals them with his burning and purifying love. Father Benson also reflects, "The Sacred Heart is no longer merely an object for adoration, but a pulsating thing that beats against our own when the bridegroom's arms are about us." Our Blessed Mother's heart was never stained by sin, but it was wounded. We are familiar with the seven swords that pierced her heart, but what about all of those that haven't been revealed to us? Do we not conclude the Rosary of the Seven Dolors with the three Hail Marys for all the tears she shed during her life? Mary shared these deep pains and sorrows with Jesus. She did not keep them for herself, for she couldn't hide anything from her son. We too are to share our complete self with him, for this is what true relationship with him is about. Jesus is first devoted to us, and by this teaches us to be devoted to him. We have the opportunity and privilege to receive him, to receive his heart and give him ours every day in Holy Communion. In the scientifically examined Eucharistic miracle of Lanciano, it was concluded that the host, which turned to flesh in the hands of the priest, was a muscular tissue of a human heart, the heart of Christ. Furthermore, the blood type in every Eucharistic miracle is AB. Type AB blood is universal, meaning a person with AB blood can receive a donation of any blood type. This is not a mistake, but an incredible physical and undeniable sign of the Father's love for us. Jesus is open to each one of us. No one is excluded. What intimate union beyond our comprehension occurs between us and the Lord whenever we receive him in Holy Communion. It's the greatest union this side of heaven. This is reflected in the following childlike prayer titled, "Little White Guest." "You have come to my heart, dearest Jesus. I am holding you close to my breast. I'm telling you over and over, you are welcome, little white guest. I love you, my Jesus. Oh, please do not think I am bold. Of course, you must know that I love you, but I'm sure you like to be told. I'll whisper, I love you, my Jesus, and ask that we may never part. I love you, O kind, loving Jesus, and press you still nearer my heart. And when I shall meet you in heaven, my soul then will lean on your breast, and you will recall our fond meetings when you were my little white guest. One can only imagine what conversations took place between Mary and her son when she received him in Holy Communion. What tender love and openness to receive the one who was conceived in her virginal womb. How often she must have received him from the hands of St. John the Beloved every time he celebrated Mass. What love and reverence and a repeating of her fiat to whatever he was asking of her. She once cradled Jesus in her arms at Bethlehem, and now in her virginal heart upon receiving him in Holy Communion. Of Mary and the Eucharist, Father Alberoni teaches, Mary was an adorer of the Holy Eucharist even more than she had been an adorer at the stable. From the Eucharistic Jesus, Mary learned more than she learned at Nazareth. Mary assisted at the holy sacrifice of the Mass even better than she assisted at the sacrifice on Calvary. We would do well to ask Our Lady to help us more worthily receive Jesus every day. She will rush to our aid, help us prepare our hearts, and to often recall Jesus' gaze to us throughout the day. As we have prayed each night at the beginning of our novena, and may the sorrowful and immaculate heart of Mary obtain for us an increase of love for the Blessed Sacrament. If we but ask, she cannot leave this prayer unanswered. Mary's relationship with Jesus began as soon as she pronounced her fiat. She did not say this word only once in her life, but daily. Mary was always open to God's will for her, which was to first of all be the mother of his incarnate son. She wasn't Jesus' mother for a day or just the 30 years before his public ministry. No, her heart has been united to his from its development in her womb and for all eternity. What about us? Are we willing to open our hearts to Jesus as Mary did? Will we respond to his loving invitation to allow him to heal and transform our hearts? If this idea frightens us, we can confidently turn to the heart of our mother, who will gently lead and teach us how to trust the merciful love flowing from his heart. St. Margaret Mary once said, as regards your taking up your abode in his sacred heart, why should you fear? Our Lord himself invites you to come and take rest in his heart. We have nothing to lose but ourselves when we enter into his heart. And when we lose ourselves there, we truly find a treasure united to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. May it be so. All glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Heart of Mary, united to the heart of Jesus, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.